We're getting up to speed on legislation and other developments at the state capitol. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Several things on the radar. Democrats and Republicans are working on plans to cut income taxes for the middle class, but they're at odds over how to pay for it exactly. There's a new lame duck legislative session lawsuit filed this week. And there's Foxconn. We learned environmental officials are reviewing air quality permits. We'll get to all of these things with your insights along the way at 800-642-1234. Which tax plan do you support and why? Do you see room for compromise? J.R. Ross is editor of WisPolitics.com. J.R., welcome back to the Ideas Network.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. So this week, Governor Tony Evers and Republican legislative leaders, they each unveiled their own plans for a middle-class tax cut. And perhaps as expected, the two sides are already at odds with each other over the plans. So let's start by having you briefly explain what each side wants to do here.
Well, they both want to target what they define as middle-class earners with a income tax cut. How they do it, however, is much different. And how they pay for it is much different. Let's start with the Republican plan. It was the one that was out first, all right? Republicans want to change your standard deduction that you have in your state taxes on a sliding scale. And then we are projected right now to have, we the state of Wisconsin, a ending balance in this fiscal year of about $691 million or so. They want to use that money to cover the cost of their income tax cut over the next 2-year budget, which starts July 1st. Tony Evers and some Democrats are out their plan, again, targeting how they define middle-income earners with a tax cut. It'd be a credit, a 10% credit. They also want to increase the earned income tax credit. That's a federal credit. You can claim a credit against your state taxes for that federal one. You want to boost that. But what they want to do is they want to cap a tax credit we have right now for manufacturers. It's called the Manufacturing Ag Tax Credit. They would not touch the part of it that impacts farmers. They would cap the one for manufacturers at the first $300,000 of income. That would generate money to help pay for their plan. And Tony Evers says he wants a tax cut that is paid for going forward, doesn't use one-time money, because the balance we have into this fiscal year is one-time money. It goes away. Republicans say they don't want to raise a tax to cut a tax. It makes no sense to them. So the point now is, will this be a game of chicken or will it be a game of compromise in the end about these two plans?
Well, Governor Evers said he cannot support a plan that has no plan for funding in the future. And meanwhile, here's what Assembly Speaker Robin Voss had to say.
I am glad that Governor Evers is trying to find ways to cut taxes, right? I think he has one flawed belief, is that is the only way that you can reduce taxes on some is to raise taxes on others. That is something we are never going to accept.
So, JR, are state lawmakers looking at the first really big challenge in this new era of divided government?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Republicans have put their tax cut in a standalone bill. Governor Evers wants this debated inside the budget because, you know, the budget basically is the plan of all spending, tax credits, everything else for the next 2 years. Republicans are going to push this in a standalone bill. What I am watching is to see, do they go ahead and put this bill on Governor Evers' desk and try and challenge him to veto it? To see if they can get him on the record opposing a middle-income tax cut. Tony Evers, I suspect, and from talking to other people, will make the argument that any tax cut should be dealt with inside the budget. So how will that work? And then, again, where is there room for compromise on this? Is there some way to kind of, you know, for example, I've heard the idea of with that cap on the manufacturers and the credit they can receive, raise the cap somewhat. Is there a way to do that? Republicans are saying no, that they're never going to cross that line. Well, if they won't cross that line and Tony Evers won't sign a plan that doesn't pay for itself, how do you get there? And that's a answer I don't have right now, and nobody else does that I talk to.
So what is next here? We've got a state budget proposal right around the corner. Is this battle over tax cuts just a preview of what's to come?
Oh, it is. It's a small preview of a much bigger battle. But a very important one, because they're laying down markers about where they're at when it comes to things like this. And they have this shared goal, but they can't get on the same page about how to do it. And it's kind of symbolic of like what, or a precursor of what we might see for the next 2 years is there are places they agree. I mean, they want to do things like address drinking water in Wisconsin, but they don't want to. Maybe they don't want to do it the same way. So how do you get there? And again, with this bill, where is there room for compromise? Can they find some kind of middle ground? And does Evers, you know, veto it and say, look, you know, go around the state and say, here's the tax cut I want you to have. We should not be giving manufacturers a generous tax cut. We should be taking that money and giving it to you. And Republicans make a successful argument of, look, that's not right to raise taxes on somebody to give them to you or other to other people. And, oh, by the way, those manufacturers provide jobs that have helped people in Wisconsin find work. So, no, it's going to be an interesting debate going forward.
We're checking in on news at the state capitol on a Thursday with J.R. Ross as our guide. He's editor of WisPolitics.com. You can join in the discussion, 800-642-1234. We saw this week unions filed a new lawsuit on Monday against the laws Republicans passed in December's lame duck session. What are you watching for as this litigation goes on? Did the lame duck session fundamentally alter government, or did you see it as a rebalancing of power? The number is 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. So, JR, let's take a look at the latest lame duck lawsuit. It's now the third lawsuit we've seen targeting the lame duck session and what happened in that session. What's different about this latest lawsuit?
They all kind of center around the idea that Republicans didn't convene this thing properly. They did something that wasn't right. This one was filed by five unions and State Senator Janet Bewley, who's from up in the Ashland area, basically arguing that these lame duck laws violate the state constitution separation of powers clause. I'm not a lawyer, never pretend to be one. It'll be interesting to see how they make an argument in court that what they did, Republicans did, was inappropriate. Now, you can argue the politics of it, you know, all day long, but Republicans keep saying, look, they followed the law in convening extraordinary session. They passed the bill in a normal process, so they believe it's legal. These guys are arguing up front, the unions and Bewley, the ones that filed this lawsuit, that they're saying this runs counter to the state constitution requirement to have a quorum of lawmakers present to do business. That, and that's because there's a provision in the law that give committees the ability to take legislative action, that I'm quoting here from the filing, giving power to effectively change a law to only a handful of legislators in the majority party. So that's their argument. I don't make no predictions about how it's going to go, but it is clear we will be in court on several fronts about this lawsuit, about these laws that were passed in December. What's more, it's kind of interesting, is that Attorney General Josh Call is declining to represent the governor or the Elections Commission because these laws changed his powers. Therefore, he says he has a conflict in defending others when it comes to these laws. That means we have private attorneys now hired for Governor Evers. We have private attorneys now hired for the Elections Commission. We have private attorneys hired for the legislature. So it's going to be an interesting battle. Now that the legal bills aren't huge just yet, but if this goes on a long time, they could become quite expensive.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Attorney General Josh Call, who seemed to indicate that the Justice Department won't defend the state against this particular new suit.
In another case in which the extraordinary session was challenged, we made clear that the Wisconsin Department of Justice has a substantial interest in that case because the authority of the Department of Justice was impacted. We view that as a conflict with defending the laws.
So he sees conflict of interest. What do we know about who could represent the state instead?
So now, the lawyers I'm talking about were hired for other lawsuits. We have Republicans in the legislature have hired the former Solicitor General who served under Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel. He's going to be their attorney. I don't have that legal contract yet. The governor's office has hired a law firm of Lester Pines, who's a well-known Madison attorney. He's represented and involved in all kinds of constitutional challenges. That contract, if I remember correctly, has a cap right now of $50,000, although it can go higher if needed. And then the Elections Commission in that previous lawsuit got Don Bach, who was a former Deputy Attorney General under Democrat Peg Lautenschlager. He and a couple of lawyers from his firm have got those guys. And you need a flow chart almost at some point to keep track of all these lawsuits and who's representing who. Now,
Definitely some lawyering up going on. So what reaction, if any, have we heard from Governor Evers and state Republicans to this latest case?
Republicans keep saying these suits are without merit. You know, they say they're on strong constitutional ground. Governor Evers has continued to say, look, you know, he doesn't like what they did, that these have taken away powers and wasn't right. So this latest one, the response from the governor's office is that they were studying or looking at legal counsel, determining how to proceed. But the quote from Melissa Baldoff, an Evers spokeswoman, is, you know, we've said repeatedly that the lame duck session was a hasty and cynical attempt by Republicans to override the will of the people and that the governor expected legal challenges.
So do you expect to see even more lawsuits filed to come, or do you think this is the last?
That's a good question. So we've had this one, we had the previous one, we have the complaint filed by Jimmy Anderson, a representative from Fitchburg, alleging that Republicans violated open meetings law because he was, you know, hit by a drunk driver, I can't remember how many years ago, he's paralyzed from the chest down, is in a wheelchair. He had to leave the Capitol because he needs to get out of that chair for certain periods. He alleges that Republicans not given enough time to come back to the Capitol, didn't give him a warning, come back and vote, which is inappropriate. One Wisconsin Now challenged the new restriction on early voting. They've already got a decision in that case. So those are the ones I know of right now. I can't tell you if anybody else is going to come down the pipe. But we've already got several fronts attacking these Republican bills from December.
Talking with J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com. You can join in, 800-642-1234. How are you hoping the state proceeds with Foxconn? Should the DNR review air and water permits that have already been granted to Foxconn, or is this redundant? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll pick up the conversation in a minute on the Ideas Network. Getting an update on state capitol news toward the end of a busy week on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Tony Evers said Tuesday that he had directed the DNR to review the air and water permits granted to Foxconn, and he said Foxconn is comfortable with these plans. Are you comfortable with reviewing its environmental permits, or is this needless since the work's been done? They're already granted. Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. J.R. Ross is our guide. He's editor of WisPolitics.com. J.R., before we talk DNR and these permits, let's talk about the news last week with Foxconn. Had a kind of a topsy-turvy week. We had report after report on Foxconn's plans, or perhaps not plans, to build this massive LCD screen manufacturing plant. Can you bring us up to speed on that past week and where we currently stand?
In short, we ended up Friday afternoon where we were Tuesday morning. What I mean by that was that Wednesday the story broke from Reuters quoting a top executive who raised questions about the feasibility of building manufacturing screens in Wisconsin, studying the cost in the United States for labor versus other countries, kind of said this might be more of a research and development facility or a packaging plant, things like that. Well, that set off a lot of alarm bells because Foxconn has had a history of falling short of its promises in other places where it's done business. And in Wisconsin, the original promise was to do up to 13,000 jobs, to invest up to $10 billion, and to build these massive LCD screens that, you know, bigger than king-size beds and that kind of thing. Well, they'd already, you know, a year ago, well, not quite a year ago, last summer. So they're going from, they call it Generation 10 to Generation 6.5 screens. They're still, you know, big screen TVs, but they're not as massive as the ones they first talked about. So we knew they were already scaling back, at least initially. So that story comes out. Then another one comes out from Nike out of Asia saying that they were suspending work at the plant, period, after negotiations with new Governor Tony Evers, because he wanted to renegotiate side deals. Well, immediately, both Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and Foxconn pushed back and said, no, that's not the case. Then on Friday, we get Foxconn saying they're moving ahead with the Generation 6.5 screens after talking to President Trump. So again, Friday afternoon, we were basically on Tuesday of, these smaller screens.
Do we know what role President Trump played in all of this?
No, it's interesting. There's a new story out, thinking about yesterday from Bloomberg, I believe, Bloomberg Business, talking about this plant was part of an effort by Foxconn to curry favor with the president because they wanted to avoid getting caught up in a trade war between China and the United States. The bottom line with all of this, though, is with Foxconn, we won't know what that plant's going to be and if it's going to be worth the investment, et cetera, for probably years. You can go back and look at the original promise that Foxconn made under that scenario. If it played out, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, which is a nonpartisan kind of budget arm legislature, had projected it could be 25 years before the state broke even on the investment. So it remains to be seen what that's going to happen. And the bottom line of Foxconn is it's not just about tax policy in Wisconsin, who the governor is. There are also global market forces that this company has to respond to. So if, like we've all seen stories about Apple and iPhones dropping orders because they're lowering expectations for the number of iPhones they're going to ship. Well, that impacts companies like Foxconn. That's an example of these global forces going on that could impact what that plant eventually looks like in Wisconsin.
Well, meanwhile, Governor Evers says he's also asking with the Department of Natural Resources to review air and water permits granted to Foxconn under the Walker administration. Here's a bit of what he had to say earlier this week.
We need to do a very thorough overview of what that proposal was and how it was responded to before, you know, we can make any decisions whether we're worried about it. But I think Foxconn believes that they've done what was asked for them.
So, JR, before you jump in here, I want to bring Tom in Burlington into the conversation because he wants to speak directly to this. Tom, go ahead.
I live in Burlington, and we're west of the Foxconn plant in Racine County. And the air comes from the Lake Michigan. It blows west sometimes. And there is no guarantee that whatever they're going to put in this air is going to be for anybody to breathe. And the water problem, what are they going to do with our wells? We have wells here, and if they contaminate the wells that we have, I mean, the whole thing is it's just not right. And what they've done over in their own country, they have no control over there.
So, JR, what is the significance here of reviewing these permits?
Well, it may not be much more than a review, that they look and say, okay, did everything properly, and away they go. One thing, to build off of what Tom was saying, is with the water issue, the original permit for this project was up to 7 million gallons a day from Lake Michigan. Well, if they're building smaller screens, how much do you need then? So we don't know that if those things, those changes they're making to the plant, change what the needs are in terms of those permits. I don't know how that plays off each other just yet.
Do we know what kind of investment, what kind of dollars the state of Wisconsin has put into preparing for Foxconn to build this massive plant and complex? You know, what are some of those costs that have already gone into this project?
So it's an interesting question. There are costs such as they're right now expanding I-94 north-south in Racine County from 6 lanes to 8. It's 8 lanes in Kenosha County, 8 lanes in Milwaukee County, but not in Racine. There's a cost that's going to happen no matter what. There are costs like to expand roads around the Foxconn plant to try and improve the infrastructure. As far as tax credits, however, the company has to hit these marks to get these tax credits. Last year, they fell short of the minimum jobs required to get any tax credits. They had to hit, I think it was 260 jobs that qualify for these tax credits. They had to get those just to even qualify for anything. Their goal was 1,040. They fell short of the 260, so they got nothing in the first year. And that's the point Republicans keep trying to make, is that they don't get tax credits on jobs or the capital investment without spending the money here or hiring the people. But there are still fixed costs. And back to the point about that Fiscal Bureau memo, you know, we don't know if this is going to break even for years. We won't know the true cost for years. You have to separate out that question of, is the investment worth it versus what have they gotten so far? Because so far it's not much. Now, again, that doesn't account for the infrastructure costs or like ratepayers are going to have to shoulder the burden of a new high voltage line out to that plant. Those costs are built in, but the tax credits haven't paid out yet because they haven't hired the people to qualify for them.
Do you think Governor Evers is looking for a way out of this deal, or is Wisconsin in it here regardless of what happens?
He suggested at various times that there's not really a way to break the contract. He keeps talking about transparency. openness, those kinds of things. That suggests that Evers wants to make sure this is done on the up and up, that there's a way to review it, that, you know, we have an actual accounting of what's going on. But as far as, like, breaking the contract, I don't think I've seen, unless I'm missing something, I don't think I've seen Tony Evers talk about doing something like that, because they've acknowledged this is a contract. It was signed by Scott Walker. You know, barring some big problem, I don't know how they get out of it.
What will you be watching for on the Foxconn front moving forward?
What sort of get next about what's actually going to happen there? Do we see people hired? How does this plant develop? What do they actually put into the plant? I mean, they've talked about things like being an assembling line. They've talked about having a research development hub. They have these, like, innovation centers, they call them, in, like, Green Bay and Eau Claire, I think. They've got a national headquarters in Milwaukee. Who do they put in there? Who are they hiring? What jobs are they doing? We're still waiting for some of those reports about what's actually happening. But it could be some time before we see that. And then what's the market look like globally? Is there demand for these screens? Can they produce them here in Wisconsin at a competitive price, that, and all that kind of good stuff? Those are things to watch. And then, two, what's the state's final investment? You know, I mean, again, they get the credits if they create the jobs needed. But in the end, Wisconsin is subsidizing their payroll if they hit those marks. I mean, how much do we pay out, and what's the return that Wisconsin gets on that investment?
Well, JR, thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking time for us.
Anytime. Have a great day.
JR Ross is editor of WisPolitics.com. Just ahead, we look at why colleges and universities across the nation are dropping foreign language programs and foreign language courses, and we discuss the outlook going forward. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.